This is the EWN Radio Network.
Listening to Travel Talk with Kelly Morgan Mealy, Chief Guide at TheBucketListRetreats.com. Kelly is the curious host who takes us along as we learn the ins and outs of travel to fascinating places that tap into our hearts and turn us into lifelong travelers, adventurers, and wanderers. Now, our friend in travel, Kelly.
Hello and good day, everyone. Welcome to Travel Talk. This is your hostess, Kelly Morgan Murley. Have you popped over to Bucket List Retreats and joined Travel Club? Why not? We are looking for you. If you are one who really has travel in your soul, we want you in Travel Club. As you all know, I love introducing you to all different types of travel. And today's show is no exception. It's a travel of the heart more than a travel of the physical body. A journey to the deepest parts of your soul to find your value and your ultimate joy. Today we are going to talk to Jared Chiafalo, who is known as the Soul Trekker. Jared's story of travel and discovery is so enlightening, I simply had to share his message with all of you. So today, let's welcome all the way from Bali, Indonesia, Jared Chiafalo. Jared, welcome to Travel Talk.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Great. We're happy to have you, too. And now, Jared, you are an up-and-coming master, if you will, who has been exploding onto the scene with your messages of recognizing your values and listening to your heart. And folks, if you are a heart-centered soul or a wannabe heart-centered soul, I encourage you to follow the links in the description below. You are going to want to keep an eye on Jared for all of his wisdom and his beautiful insights in regard to recognizing your core values. Jared, I really am looking forward to getting to know you, and I wanted to talk about your path, literally and figuratively, that brought you to this beautiful place of living your truth from your heart center. Can you tell us about how you went from a businessman with a lot of things that maybe held you down to a nomad who really wants as little stuff as possible?
My heart was telling me to sell and donate everything I ever owned. I didn't quite listen to my heart right away. I put all my stuff in storage. And because it sounded insane for me to just get rid of all my stuff and just go. I mean, I was coming from a place where many of you are today where it's like, no way, I can't get rid of all my stuff. Are you crazy? Like, this is my life.
Sure.
And so I didn't. I put it in storage and I was like, cool, I want this to fall back on in case I need to come back, right? But in my heart, I knew I was never coming back. And it was right, you know? 2 months or 2 years later of storage bills that I didn't need to spend, you know, I ended up going back to the States just to sell and donate everything I ever owned, just like I was told to do 2 years prior. So, you know, when we listen to our hearts, it can save you a lot of time and money too. I mean, that's the thing, you know, time, money, heartache, whatever. When we listen to our hearts and not our minds, it's always leading to this place that we far better that we need to be. So yeah, I left, got my yoga teacher training in Costa Rica. That was the beginning of my journey. So I did have an initial destination. After that, I didn't so much.
Mm-hmm.
I I was all over the globe. And when you hear like my routes, you can definitely tell it wasn't planned, because I literally went from Costa Rica to Greece, to Sweden, to Norway, to Denmark, to Spain, to Switzerland, to the UK, and then back to the States to get rid of all my stuff, and then back to then moving to Bali.
And so you would just meet up with people in your travels, and they would give you some ideas of where to travel, and that's where you would head off to? So you didn't really necessarily have a plan?
No. Actually, a lot of women would I met along the way, a lot of fellow women travelers that were traveling alone. You know, that's also a big misconception coming from the West. Like, I'm a woman, I can't travel alone.
Right.
That's a bogus assumption. Like, I meet so many strong, independent women traveling by themselves, just as many as men, by the way, if not more. And they were some of my best teachers. They're the ones that told me about hostels. They're the ones that, you know, showed me around. Most of these women I met on the road, and again, many, they've been doing this stuff a long time, you know, and they taught me a lot. I felt like I had to catch up to them in many, many ways. And they still teach me a lot. That's not over.
Sure. And then somewhere along the line, you got involved with yoga. When was that?
So yoga, I like to say that yoga found me 5 years ago. And people kind of laugh at this. I was totally not a man that you would ever think would do yoga. I used to think yoga was for sissies, actually. Mm-hmm. You would not catch me dead in a yoga class. Never. I had no interest in it. But when I was 30, I was very, very hunched over from my scoliosis, which is curvature of the spine. Both the doctors and chiropractors had told me that if I don't get steel rods implanted in my spine, that I wouldn't be able to stand up straight. I mean, I'm talking about when I say hunched over, I was so hunched over that, you know, my lungs were compressed. I was having trouble breathing, and my stomach was also screwed up. There was many, I actually would wake up every morning and vomit blood and stuff because that's how hunched over I was over. So when I'm saying I was a hunchback, I was a hunchback. And it was only going to get worse. I mean, I was going to be one of those, you know, senior citizens hunched over the cane. I mean, that's definitely, I had a vision of that when they were saying that to me. So yeah, I humbled myself. I was like, all right, well, I'm not going to do surgery. I've kind of always been against, you know, Western conventional medicine, and steel rods in my body next to my spine did not sound appealing to me at all.
No.
So yeah, I humbled myself and I tried yoga. I did start out slow, and I had money back then, and you still wouldn't catch me dead in a yoga class. So I actually paid for somebody to teach me privately 3 or 4 times a week. And that carried on for actually about a year before he kicked me out from doing that. And he's like, you have to come to my class. Like, I'm not going to do this for you anymore. Like, you're ready to come to a class. Well, I like to say, and I mean this in a very sarcastic way, yoga screwed my life up. It screwed up my life the way I knew it. It was the beginning of the end of the way I was living before.
Oh my.
Through yoga, I felt, well, first of all, it led to meditation down the road, not right away, because again, I wasn't in yoga for anything other than to fix my back. I had no interest in any spiritual aspects. I didn't care. Like, if he would have started busting out Sanskrit vocabulary, I probably would have just turned around and hightailed out of there. I had no interest in any of that. He knew I was there for that. And so, you know, I honor him for, and I remember him saying, he's like, oh, this is a new experience for me, teaching somebody like you. And now I understand what he means.
Right.
Because yeah, I was only in there to fix my back. I didn't have any interest in meditation, any interest in any of the, to me, spiritual woo-woo aspects of it. I just want to go in there and fix my back. So after doing that for about a year, I did find meditation, and no one pushed it on me. I found it on my own through doing yoga and releasing all that tension and anxiety and emotion that I had been storing in my body that I didn't realize I had. I mean, body awareness began to develop. Before I did yoga, it felt like my ankle was connected to my neck. Like there was no like separation in my body. There was no body movement. Everything was just literally like one tense muscle. Like I had no awareness of my body, all tension, all anxiety. I didn't realize that all that really was stemming from things I was holding in my body. And when I found yoga, or after finding yoga and then finding meditation, that's when this really, really big transformation began to occur in me. And again, it wasn't that long ago. So meditation is how I began to clearly hear what my heart was trying to tell me and where it was trying to direct me. I mean, I've always had it. I always had this gift. I mean, I believe that we all have this gift. I really do believe that we all have the ability to listen to our heart. We all have the ability to discern between the voice of the heart and the voice of the mind. But it does take practice, and you have to, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be a strict meditation practice to begin to hear your heart, but you do have to learn to quiet the mind and know that the mind is separate from you. You know, our heart's really looking out for us, but it's kind of an asshole because the heart speaks from the truth, and the truth does not need to justify itself. The truth is simple, and it doesn't need to justify itself. So when you ask your heart, when your heart tells you what to do or where to go or, you know, who to talk to or who not to talk to, and we're like, but why? The heart goes silent. And this drives our minds nuts because we want to know why, like what's going to happen and why. And the heart's just like, kind of crosses its arms together and goes, I don't got to tell you. I don't need to tell you. I'm telling you the truth, and you can either listen to me or not. And if you don't listen to me, you're going to find out why later. So it kind of just sits back. You know, I picture the heart sitting back with this kind of cocky attitude, just like, you can listen to me or not. I'm just going to sit here and watch the movie if you decide not to. Right?
That's right.
So,
well, and Jared, you have such great advice like that. And it's so obvious that your eyes are no longer on the prize so much as the joy and the experience of getting to where you're going. And I want to take this time to take a break. And when we get back, Jared is going to share his new project that's coming up. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Climb out of the hole. At any given moment, you have the power to say this is not how the story is going to end. No one likes finding themselves stuck in the middle of life's crossroads, lost, wondering where to turn next. Indecisiveness is a dream killer. Life sometimes corners us and forces us to make important decisions. For example, regarding your relationships and quitting or switching your career. But life is never punishing you. It's attempting to redirect you towards something far greater. The shift you'll experience in my 2-month Truth to Live program is permanent, and the solution is simple. Together, we will shift your perception. When perception shifts to the truth and the reality of what is, everything changes. Your mindset, how you relate, your view of life, and everything in it. Freedom is the gift I offer. Find out more about my 2-month Truth to Live program on my website at soultrekker.org. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat at Soul Trek, and check out my YouTube channel, Soul Trekker. It would be an honor if you join me. I'll see you there.
Go to bucketlistretreats.com. Join our travel club for inside tips, fun travel conversation, and freebies only available in email. Bucket List Retreats. Where do you want to go? Now back to Travel Talk with Kelly Morgan Mealy.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to today's show on Travel Talk with your hostess, Kelly Morgan Mealy, and our guest, Jared Ciafalo, joining us all the way today from Bali, Indonesia. Hello, Jared. You're still on the line with us, right?
Oh, I'm definitely still here. Got a lot more to share.
Great. I hope that everyone joined us in the first segment where we really got to know and fall in love with our guest, Jared Ciafalo. If you didn't get to the falling in love part, you probably will now. Jared, it is a love of acceptance of self, isn't it?
Oh, it definitely is. I mean, that's probably also another one of the biggest transformations I've experienced over the last 2 years of being on the road like this is again, to learn to love myself, you know. That's all I've had, traveling by myself for 3 years. That's who you're with. Wherever you go, there you are. I mean, that's one of my favorite quotes because it's so true. You can go to the other end of the earth, literally, and there you are. All your stuff, everything inside, it's going there right with you. It's like it's always in that suitcase with you. You cannot escape yourself. So right. You better learn to love yourself.
And you talk about discovering your values and how that it was something to love.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that was probably one of my more difficult tasks was really recognizing my value. And I almost want to say that really came into fruition this year. It just got to the point where it's just, you know, like they say, the lesson shall be repeated until it learns. And one of my biggest lessons in the, you know, life and the universe kept throwing me constant lessons for me to recognize my own value. And I think for a lot of us, myself included, that was probably one of the biggest things that I had trouble with. I would do everything, even though I was constantly getting these lessons actually all throughout my life, like now that I understand, like looking back, I mean, all throughout my life, I never wanted to address my value because, well, I didn't see it in myself yet. And recently, though, I mean, a lot of us have been through a lot, you know, last 4 years energetically and whatnot, but I literally had no more energy left to ignore these lessons any longer. I was like, all right, what are you trying to show me? Like, I want to know. Like, I don't have the energy to fight this anymore, ignore it. Like, what are you showing me? And what it was showing me was like, until I acknowledge my own value, which again was pretty scary for me because knowing my own value means that, you know what, I'm gonna do everything that I know in my heart I'm supposed to do. Like, I'm gonna charge what I'm worth. I'm gonna put these, you know, amazing promotions up. I'm gonna speak publicly. I'm going to be seen and be heard. Which, you know what, if you're doing that, you darn sure you know, you have to know your message and you have to know who you are. You have to be comfortable in your own skin.
You have really found a calling, and it's a gift that you share with others, and it's really an enlightening path. Can you talk to us about that, Jared?
Yeah, a lot of people always ask me, like, how did you start doing this? How did you find this calling and this and that? And I kind of laugh about it because it's like, you know, the mind and especially in the Western world, like we think that like everything we've chosen to do, everything like was decided, everything was planned. Like, this is like the perfect example of how that whole belief system just needs to be tossed right out the window, because I did not find this calling. This calling found me. Okay. I was living a completely different way before, completely. And they are not aligned at all with what I do now. And to think even a year ago I would be doing what I'm doing now is just laughable. Like, I don't even know what this is. Okay. And I do walk with my eyes closed and my heart open. That's how I do this. And so none of this was planned, and everything that I did plan for this, whatever this is exactly, I don't use it. Everything that I thought I had to have ready before I began, whatever beginning was, I don't use it. The thing is, like, you're never going to be ready. It's just about going and trusting. It's again, it's like, you know, when your heart calls, you answer the damn phone. That's you pick up and you just trust. You know, you trust. You have faith. And by me following this, it's leading me to places. Again, I would have never, ever thought I'd be doing this even a year ago. And this is leading me to places beyond any thought, any plan, any belief, my imagination, And dare I even say, dream of before. You know, this is leading me beyond anything the mind could ever comprehend. And this is only the beginning. That's the exciting thing about this. So, again, this goes back to, like, being at your core, trusting, listening to your heart, and not being afraid to follow it. And, again, it doesn't mean that you're fearless. It just means that you can be full of fear and courageous enough to follow what your heart's telling you to do anyways. But a perfect example of this is about 2 months ago, it really felt like the universe was setting a very big stage for me. And it is. It has. The stage is actually set. 2 months ago, and the way the stage was being set was, like, again, completely out of anything, any order that the mind would want to plan this. So I have a wonderful friend who, she's a beautiful photographer, you know, was well beyond my current financial means at the time. And so, I mean, I do go through tough times with this, and to be brief at that, you know, there's actually been times when I couldn't afford to eat in a country where I can go eat for a dollar. Mm-hmm. Well, 2 months ago, I experienced that for 4 days. And my friend who's a photographer got upset with me that I hadn't let her know. And she invited me over to eat. Oh. And anyway, she snuck up on me and started taking pictures. And I had never been in a photo shoot before. I'd never done anything like that before. And of course, in the initial beginning few minutes, I was very apprehensive and nervous about it.
Sure, it's always scary.
Right. Well, after I saw the shoot, though, and I looked at the photos, I mean, my jaw dropped open. These photos were incredible. And if any of you, you know, go on my website or any of my social media, you'll see these photos. And yeah, they're incredible. And not only did I feel like I was looking at myself for who I am now for the first time, the message my heart was saying was like, this is big. Like, these photos aren't just any photos. These photos are big. This is for something big. But there was no something yet. So I was like, yeah, okay. Well, yeah, these photos are big, but I have no idea what they're going to be used for.
Sure.
Literally, you know, about 4 or 5 days later, old friend of mine from my old life reached out to me and said he's been, you know, inspired by my journey and been following me and really, like, likes what I'm doing. And he wanted to be a part of this with me. And he's like, hey, you know, I've been building websites for over 20 years and here's my portfolio. Do you need a website? Are you interested in letting me help you with this? So I was like, yeah, actually, I mean, I wasn't looking for a website, but all of a sudden I had these beautiful photos. And then when the website came along, I was like, ah, so that's what these photos are for. Okay, so the photos are for the website. So it doesn't stop there. About a week later, again, not searching, not looking, not applying, someone reached out to me, are you familiar with the online blog site, The Good Men Project? And I am familiar with it. I've been reading that site, you know, for a few years now, 4 years maybe. And she's like, I'm actually getting ready to go meet with the CEO tomorrow of the Good Men Project. And I've been following your writing for the last year. I really love your writing. Would you be interested in writing for me? Because if I get this gig tomorrow, I'm going to be an editor for the Good Men Project. Well, here's the funny thing. 2 years ago, when I was trying to plan this, whatever it was out, actually as a yoga, from a yoga instructor standpoint, I was like, oh, I need to write for an online blog site to, you know, promote my yoga services. So I thought I had to plan it all out. Anyways, I let that go a couple of years ago. Sure enough, this comes back to me in this order. When the stage was ready, I get this job to write for, you know, the Good Men Project, which is, you know, going to promote the website, promote my videos, promote my program. You know, that's the payment for the Good Men Project. So sure enough, I get the gig to write for the Good Men Project. So literally in a week and a half, I have these amazing, you know, some of the most amazing photographs I've ever seen of me and or really anyone. She's incredible. And then this amazing website that's going to be up in 2 weeks. Be sure to check that out. And then, this writing gig for the Good Men Project, something I've been reading for 4 years that I really love. And, you know, the Good Men Project represents a lot of what I represent, which is, you know, banishing these gender stereotypical ancient beliefs that we need to toss out the window, I think. I mean, it's like...
That's so great. You know, I can't wait to look into it. And I hope everyone pops over and looks into that. We'll have a link on our description. And Jared, talk to us now. You have been having some sessions with some clients and ended up that you felt like you wanted to have more time with them to really follow through their process. And you came up with a course. Can you tell us about that?
Right. So, you know, in the beginning, I was like, single sessions are enough. Single sessions are very powerful, and they are very powerful. The single sessions really begin to help you see that you really have a lot more control on your reaction of how the mind can affect your life and the way you go about day-to-day life, that you don't have to allow your, you know, thoughts and fears and doubts and worries to dictate where you go and what you can and can't do. And so one session really, really digs into that. And people's eyes literally get wider and wider as the session progresses. They can't believe that something that's imprisoned them in fear for so long, sometimes their entire lives, can literally simply be like poof, gone. Wow. They don't realize that it is that simple, because again, I'm working with truth, right? So truth is simple. Truth doesn't validate itself. It doesn't need to explain itself. It's simple and it just is. So in that way, my job's pretty easy too. It's like, hey, I'm just talking about the truth that you already know. However, this is why I designed this program though, because knowing and doing are completely two different things. Mm-hmm. One of the most common things I hear people say in my sessions is, I know, I know, I know. I already know that. I already know that. And then it's like, okay, right. You do know. Of course you know. We all know the truth. Are we doing it though?
Right.
No. Most people are not doing what they know they should be doing and what they, you know, because again, that's when the excuses and the worries and the fears and the doubts and the blah, 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 the constant grinding of the gears, near, 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 like you can't do this. Right. We get caught up in why we can't do that. In these 2 months, 8 sessions, we're going to really, really get to the core of who you are without all the noise and the BS of the minds. Like, who are you? Who are you without that doubt? Who are you without that worry? Who are you without that fear? Who would you be if you had no excuses? In this 2 month period, we're going to shift your entire perception on that. Completely. Within the first session, you'll actually begin to see your entire world begin to shift the way you perceive it. That is how powerful the first session is. And so I'm ready to take this to a step further. I'm ready to see what 8 sessions do. So I know what they're going to do, because I have different exercises and you know, mantras and you know, meditation, but the thing is, I don't really want to give you, because I don't live by structure. I don't want to give you, say there's going to be set structure, because here's the thing. It's going to be uniquely tailored to where you're at now, to what you want to do now. And again, everything's about now. It's not about the past, or, you know, we're going to quickly move you out of the past. That is going to be the initial onset of these sessions, is moving you out of the past and quickly into the now. And what do you want now? What do you want in life now? And what is your heart telling you to do? And then we're going to move with that. And then we're going to start to notice patterns and blockages and old beliefs and anything else and routines, whatever isn't serving you anymore. I'm going to catch those right away. And to be clear, I'm not here to coddle you. I'm not here to tell you what you want to hear. No, I'm here to tell you the truth. And this isn't your truth. This isn't my truth. It is simply the truth. And I like to say, You know, sometimes the truth definitely can piss you off before it sets you free. And I'm here to offer you the gift of freedom. But sometimes it's going to really piss you off first because, yeah, you might have to, not might, you're probably going to have to get up and do something that requires change. Mm-hmm. And often change is something that the mind sees as too big and scary to do. And that you'll see how we'll get into that too in these sessions. That's also an illusion. That's also
that's not so true.
Right. So it's really like, I'm like, you know, it's like illusions are like bubbles, and I'm going to come in here and take my little finger and go, pop, that's an illusion. Pop, that's an old belief. Pop, you said you can't, but you can. Pop, you said you won't, but you will. Pop. It's just like, you know, I'm just going to go in there and just pop all this stuff that's blocking you. And it happens quick. You were never lost, okay? You're never lost, and you don't need to find yourself. You just need to simply remember who you always are. Don't be afraid. Do it.
I wanted to thank you again, and I know the logistics aren't always easy, and you and I have really struggled to halfway around the world, but it
has
turned out great, and I really do appreciate it. So until next time on Travel Talk, this is your hostess, Kelly Morgan Murley, signing off. Have a beautiful week, everyone. Bon voyage.
This is the EWN Radio Network.